Welcome, everyone, to episode number 2 of the IPG Laser Cube podcast. I, of course, am Tyler Crawley. With me, as always, Dean Brennan from IPG. And Dean, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for doing this, Tyler.
So this episode is actually going to be a two-parter. So our second and third episode are going to be focusing on one issue that came up a lot during these interviews that we had done about the Laser Cube, and that was its size. This was an issue that came up a lot, and so I thought we should devote at least 2 episodes to it. So I know we're going to start with Glenn's interview.
Right. And Glenn at Sarah Laser in Anaheim, California, they're an early adopter, early buyer. And when he bought the machine, you know, we had discussed the fact that the machine was, you know, small bed. And he was looking that he wanted high power at a good price, high performance, something that's accurate. But I think at the end of the day, he bought the machine for the price and the value. But we didn't know who was going to buy 4x4 machines because everybody has 5x10. So, and as it turns out, now, you know, 3-4 years later, probably the calling card of the machine is the ergonomics. That's why I'm excited about this episode.
Yes. And so let's play our first clip here. Glenn from Sarah Laser.
I became aware of the Laser Cube and the fact they were coming out with this, you know, 4x4 machine. And I could buy a fiber laser for under $300,000. Which seemed to make a lot of sense to me because I could spend about half of what I would have to spend from anybody else. And I could get into the fiber realm and start seeing what it was all about. So we went ahead and bought the machine almost 4 years ago now. But it was a real eye-opener for us. And the other thing I liked about the machine, too, is our shop, is we've got 8 Mitsubishi laser machines. We also have a Mitsubishi water jet. So we're really packed. We only have 12,000 square foot building, so we have almost no room in our building. So the other thing I liked about the Laser Cube and the other reason I bought it is because I took this former warehouse space, basically a maintenance space, and that's where I put the machine. And I was able to do that because the footprint is under 10 foot by 10 foot, so we were able to take a non-productive area of our shop, and now we're able to start making money on it.
So he did mention the price, which I think Everyone cares about to some extent. But I also really like the fact that he mentioned taking a space that was not doing anything for him and making money off of it.
Right. And what's funny is there came a time a couple years later where he wanted the machine in another part of the shop where he was able to share some labor between 2 lasers. So I have a video, if anybody ever looks at and gets hold of my video of the Laser Cube, you can see where in time lapse, Sarah moving the machine around. And they've done it a couple times. So, you know, that's probably, I don't know if it's a selling feature.
Everything is a selling feature, Dean. Everything is a selling feature. Now, we have another clip from Glenn where he's, talking about how he's sort of used the machine, correct? And what he's been doing with it. So let's play clip number 2.
The idea of a high accuracy, small footprint machine, small format machine, actually, it made a lot of sense to us. And it's made a lot of sense in reality for us. The other thing we did is when we bought the machine, we bought a 4-foot Amada shear because we figured we'd take a 4x10 or a 4x12 or a 4x8 sheet and cut it in half or cut it into thirds and run it on the machine. And that works real well, too, because a lot of times with small parts, a sheet of small parts may run 5 or 6 hours if you're running like a 4x8 or a 4x10 sheet. So now instead of having to wait 4 to 6 hours for the whole sheet to get done, by running smaller sheet sizes, we're able to go on to the next process, you know, within an hour or two, because the blanks are just smaller blanks.
So what I liked about that was he was not only talking about, like I said, once again, utilizing a space that he wasn't utilizing at all before, and now he's making money off of it, but also the efficiency of the machine and how he's able to kind of turn things around.
Yeah, well, I think Glenn hit on something that has not been missed on others. It's the ergonomics and it's the material flow. And like you said, if you have to wait 5 or 6 hours to get to the next process, because for the most part, you're not doing just laser cutting. You're doing a lot of different processes. So a lot of times, people with larger machines run smaller sheets anyway, and that's just because of the material handling. We have a Guy Petrozani at Rapid elaborates on this exact thing.
Yes, and so let's go to Guy's clip, because I like what Guy had to say, because he threw some science in there with some of the data that he had.
A while back, we did a study, and basically 97% of our geometries or something like that, 92 maybe, fit on a blank. And so what was happening was we would basically try to utilize as much of the sheets that we would get, and it would bog down the shop because of the tack time and the process time. When all we really needed to do was run a blank, it would get our job done. We could get it out, start processing it throughout the shop. So with the small footprint laser, that's what really piqued our interest. And again, it's tried and true. It does what it needs to do.
So, you know, I don't know a lot about lasers. Does anyone know that's listening to this podcast?
That's why we got you.
Exactly. But I do know business. And the one thing that I know is that wasting time and having to wait for something that, you know, Guy mentioned, and of course, Glenn mentioned, was just once again, the turnover and being able to just maximize your time and the value of that.
Well, so the Fabricator is a trade magazine or an association, and they publish this. They have a publication every month. They have awards. But Guy at Rapid Manufacturing recently earned the Fabricator's 2019 Industry Award. So what they got the award for was moving to 40 by 48 blanks that fit perfectly into the into their seven IPG laser cubes. So this allowed them to move away from the pallet-based storage of raw material and simplified inventory control.
Now, we do have a lot more to get to, but we are going to save that for episode number 3. So for right now, that is all we got. I am Tyler Crawley. That was Dean Brennan, and we'll see you back here next time on the Laser Cube Podcast.